Malachi 3:10. And this involves tonight's lesson, okay? Verse 10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it."
We all get confused. And I would go ahead and do tonight's lesson, well, this morning's lesson, if I hadn't been going through this one so many times this morning. I don't want to mix them up. I apologize for that. There are some things that are difficult to believe, like I can make a mistake. How is it that Jesus, watching people putting their monies, and mentions to his disciples to look at a poor widow? In Mark chapter 12, in verses 41 through 44, it reads, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people casted money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and he said to him, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." How does a person do that? I understand that giving is important. And I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that many here give very generously. But for just a moment, think. What did this woman expect to get? Will there miraculously be food in her cupboard every morning? Was she expecting to go ahead and starve to death? You know, the Bible doesn't elaborate any more on this. Jesus made the point he wanted to make. But it would be kind of interesting for you and I to understand what actually went through this poor woman's mind. You know, but, you know, Jesus does push a point in certain other things. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 58, there was a certain man had come to him. Matthew chapter 8 tells us it was a scribe. And he wanted to be a follower of Jesus. In verse 57, he says that he would go wherever Jesus went. And Jesus, he replied to him that foxes have their holes, and birds of the air have their nests. But the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. Now, why would he make a comment such as that? You know, I guess you could almost say if it wasn't for the kindness of loved ones, Jesus would have been homeless. Here was a man of means that was saying that he would follow Jesus anywhere. You know, I can understand, you know, in certain terms and in certain ways as a human being that Jesus would praise a rich woman and in another sense was talking of the poor woman and in a sense kind of deriding some of the rich folks because they're giving out of their means. Some people are probably thinking, Jesus, don't you get it? You need money to live. Why I wanted to go to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Malachi, chapter 3, God brings up a strange point that really needs our attention today. I like to start off with verse 7. In Malachi 3:7, it reads, "Even from the days your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, wherein shall we return?" Now, here's the one thing that you can always see just about every place you go in the Old Testament, that God loves His people. Without a doubt, God loves His people. And He loves us. We can gather just from reading these verses. These people, from what we can gather from Malachi, walked away from God. And God is calling them back. He wants them to come back into a relationship with Him. But He just says, very simply, return to me. You know, it brings a point that there are a lot of folks out there that are wondering if they can ever return to God. There are some who have messed up their lives so bad that just the idea that God would even want them back is foreign to them. They probably think God doesn't love them anymore. They feel lost and alone. But God is always there with His arms stretched out, calling for His people to return to Him. God makes it very clear in the book of Malachi what repentance looks like for the people. In verses 8 and 9 of Malachi 3, God says, "Will you rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? That's in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." That's a serious accusation. When we teach people today about discipleship, we don't spend a whole lot of time on the topic of giving. It sounds money hungry, doesn't it? Well, the church just wants me here because they just want my money. You know, I recall in a chapter in A Mussel and a Shovel where Mr. Shank was stepped away from his church that he had been going to for so long because he just got fed up with it. And the preacher would never sit down and answer his questions, would never take the time for him. And yet when they were away for several months, the preacher calls up and says, "Hey, we missed you. We need your money." Christians would rather preachers talk about anything else but giving. But it is a good topic to discuss because of what being a giver shows in the relationship that we have with God. We don't look at it that way. We look at, well, we got to pay the light bill. We got to support our missions. You got to pay the preacher. That's not what it shows. That's not its purpose. In Malachi 3:10, what Barney read, "Bring all the tithes into the storeroom, and there may be meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Well, let's examine this verse for just a bit. God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. You know, we can see in the Old Testament in many, many ways and in many times that material blessings were given to the Jews in the past. You know, but the one thing that's mysteriously missing in the New Testament is this promise of material blessings. It's not there. What we find given to us is that when we learn to let go, it is a way of giving thanks to what God has done for us and what God continues to do for us. You realize how much faith it takes to let go of what you have? Giving from our extra is one thing. Giving of our little is another. When that widow gave all that she had, what was left? Faith. Faith. Would God really open up the windows of heaven? But what if those windows are not financial? What if it's something else? God's word today calls on us to act in faith by letting go of the very thing that we need to sustain us, finances. When you look at your past week, what did you get up every morning for? What did you get up for? I got up so I could buy groceries. I got up so I could pay the mortgage or the car payment. I got up for stuff. Is that our motivation every morning when we get up? In what way are we to let go? The Bible's not specific. He doesn't spell it out in black and white in words that we can understand. He's not specific. Under the old covenant, it was through tithes and offerings, but we don't live under that covenant anymore. Under this covenant that we live by, God calls upon us to hear a similar sound teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Charles read it this morning, part of it, starting in verses 6 and going through verse 8. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves the cheerful giver. Here's the part that's so important. And God is able to make grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What are we getting? Grace. We need to understand and to realize just how important that God's blessing is not something that we can manipulate. You have those out there who teach that if you give 10%, God is going to give you 10 times that back. What a lie. What a miscarriage that statement is. Because it plays on our desires for more physical. And God will not lead us down that path of materialism. God does bless his children. God does give us everything we need for life and godliness. And that is true. You know, but sometimes even in my own mind, I don't get it. I give because I already got. I've been given salvation through the blood of Christ, and that is enough. Is that what we think? But you know, my friends, my brethren, it's time for us to let go of sin that so easily entangles us and turn our eyes toward God. For the people who heard Malachi and his prophecies, God made them a promise. In verses 11 and 12 of Malachi 3, God says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord. All nations shall call you blessed. You shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts." What a promise. What if God said the very same thing to us? What if God came down for just a moment and spoke in a voice that every single voice or ear could hear in this world and say, "If you do this, I will promise you this." How many would do it? God offered his people, his chosen people, so many physical blessings, but all they had to do was follow him. That's it. Follow him. But what we end up finding out is it wasn't enough. Or maybe they just didn't believe God was going to follow through with his promise. You know, we as human beings today, we got to second guess everything and every motive. The windows of heaven will be opened up. And it would bless them so much that there would be no more need. None. Everyone around them would see this as God's gift to these people. And they would say they are blessed people. It was a beautiful offer that history tells us they refused. Brethren, today God calls on us to learn and also to let go of our dependence on finances. Jesus, in fact, he calls it mammon. He calls mammon a god that contends with our devotion. But here's another truth. And I dare say that probably each and every one of us has a little bit of that into us. We only see what's in this life. We only know this life. So living by faith that there's something greater right now is difficult for us to fathom. But you know, God's promise still remains. That when we give ourselves over to him, he will give us eternal life. Do we believe it so much that we see our money as a tool to bless God and to serve others? Try not to think about tomorrow being Monday morning and having to punch that clock again. Look past it. Look past it. Do we believe enough to invest our time, our energy, and our emotions in serving God and our fellow man? It's not about what you get when you choose to give. Yet we can experience freedom from the bondage of this life when we realize that not 10%, but 100% belongs to God. You cannot be a 10% Christian. You can't be a 20% Christian. You must be 100%. And the same with our giving. The same with all the material blessings that we have been blessed with. They all, 100%, belongs to God. We are simply the stewards of it. When this world looks at us, we should want them to see just how blessed we are. And we have been given those spiritual blessings. And God has physically blessed us too. We have been given peace and joy and love and freedom. A poor widow, all she had left after that day was faith. Faith. Do we have that faith? If everything that we have in this life ended today, not our lives, just what we have, do we have the faith to carry on? When the stock market crashed in the 20s, people took their lives because they lost everything. You see, even if we lost everything, we still have everything because we have God. But if you're not a child of God, you don't have that. And that is a sad thing. And there's a sad day coming. A sad day coming. There's going to be many out there who are going to be facing their doom. They're going to realize it's too late. There will not be listening. No, wait. I'll change right now. That's not going to happen when the Lord comes. It is going to happen so fast, the world will not realize it. Then every knee shall bow. By then it's too late. Don't be caught up in that. If you are not a child of God, we pray that you will come this day. Sacrifice the old man that's in you right now and become a new creature. Through repentance and confession and baptism for the remission of sins, God will add you to His church. You will become His. You will receive His promises. Together, as a family of Christians, we will help you grow, because you must grow. And we will help each other to remain faithful so that we can enjoy the eternal promises God has made for those who obey Him. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you have not been doing the things you should have been doing in your life, and you've allowed things to slip and you've kind of turned away from God. And we can say, when have we not done this or when have we not done that? But if God says you haven't done this, then you need to take that to heart. God wouldn't make things up. If there is something that you need to do to make things right in your life, we want to give you that opportunity also. If any has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.